The epistle for the Feast of All Saints is taken from the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed, of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Reuben 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Gad 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Aser 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Naphtali 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Manasseh 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Simeon 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Levi 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Issachar 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Zabulon 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Joseph 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Benjamin 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and the ancients and the four living creatures, and they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God, saying, Amen, benediction and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you, and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Please be seated. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This vision comes to us from St. John. Again, it's coming from the book of the Apocalypse. I'd mentioned with the Feast of Christ the King, we have this apocalyptic vision of our Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so now we have St. John again giving us another vision. And this time he gives to us this understanding of the saved souls, the ones that are in heaven, that they washed their robes and they made them clean in the blood of the Lamb, which is obvious in reference to our Lord, the slain Lamb. And so with the Apocalypse, again, I mentioned too of how chapters 8 through 13 kind of give us an understanding of the last times and how important it is for us to realize that, to recognize that, to read that, to try to understand what St. John is trying to give us to contemplate and to think about. And so he gives us this glimpse of the church triumphant. You know, with the Feast of Christ the King is the church militant, and now we have the church triumphant. Tomorrow, the church suffering. And so with that, he gives us this glimpse, the glimpse of the church triumphant in all her splendor, all her glory. And that is why it's so important for the children then, as you know, they dressed up for All Saints. So both of the parties, the parish and the school one, I think went very well. I think some of the children did an excellent job. You parents also, with the help that you give to them. And I think that's why it's so important for them to look and to think about the saints themselves. Because yes, we can look at this, we can look at the church triumphant and see that, of how these souls have been saved, and how they are now They have the beatific vision. They have reached their end. But it's good for us to also to meditate and to think about that, the different saints, the different walks of life, and how we can take the example of all of the saints and try to apply them to our own lives. And that is what I think is good for the children to try to understand. And granted, some of the children tried to find saints that would stump the priest. It happened once or twice, maybe, I think. Maybe with the other priest. But with that, it's good for them also to find these different saints. Because it's easy for us, we know a lot about the saints and some of the famous saints, the ones that have a great devotion, a great following. But I think it's also important for us to find sometimes, yes, these obscure saints. In learning about their lives and seeing also why they are called saints. We don't know much about their stories. We don't know much about them. And so that's why it's good for us to read about them and to understand that. And then, yes, to have our children present them. Present the saints and understand why, say, they chose them. And that's one of the encouragements that I make to you, parents, is also to try to help your children to see, why is this a saint? Why is this person? What virtues did they have that they practiced in their life in order to get to heaven? And even in some ways, for our children or for all of us, that we look to saints that also maybe if there's something that we struggle with, well, then we find a saint that will help us with that. Whether it's patience, whether it's charity, whatever it may be. The gift of fortitude. Finding these different saints that maybe if it's something that we struggle with in practicing that virtue, we can find then saints to help us with that. To truly imitate them. And it is through that imitation that will help us then to live a better life, a life that is more pleasing to God. And for us, ultimately, then to have this as our feast day too. Because I think that's the thing that we must understand, that this feast day is for, yes, all the saints that we know, but it's also for all those saints that lived their life in obscurity, that just did their duty of state and they got to heaven. They were able to get to heaven because of that faithfulness to that. A simplicity of life, a humility, whatever it may mean, that they reached that goal. And so, yes, when St. John gives us this vision that they come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes, I mean, he's giving us the understanding of how that, yes, they had to live their lives and struggle through that. And through that struggle, that's where then they gained the ability to be able to get to heaven. So St. John gives us much to contemplate and to think about. Just in the book of the Apocalypse itself, and as I say, it's the last book of the Bible, but it gives us so much to think about. And so these are the things that we must contemplate on this great feast, yes. It's the feast of all saints, all that see the beatific vision. And remembering that the clearer the beatific vision that they have was because of the amount of charity that they had in life. I mean, a lot of times when we think of charity, we just consider it as something that we do good for other people. But when you think about and you say the act of charity, this prayer, I mean, it illustrates to us that it is our love for God. And so therefore, these saints, the higher that they are in heaven means the more charity that they had at the end of their life. I mean, that is why we can say that the Blessed Virgin Mary, she is the highest of all creatures, those created by God. She is the highest one because of her love for God. And then we say St. Joseph, and then so on from there. I mean, granted, we can all place our own saints at the different parts in that, where we think they should be. I don't even have to tell you where I think St. Denis would be, but so from that, though, we have to understand that the saints, it is because of their great charity, their great love for God, and that is where it determines their place in heaven. That's why our Lord says there are many mansions in heaven. It is this determination of where they are in heaven because of the greater vision of God that they have. Not all in heaven will have the same vision of God. It is based on the charity that they have, the love for God that they had during their lives. That is what will determine how clearly they see God. I mean, granted, for us, I'm sure we just want to get to heaven at that point, see God from a distance even. But we have to be striving for a high place in heaven. We must be trying to live our lives like the saints and to use them as that example. And so that is why it's important for, as I say, for you to help your children when they're looking for saints. I mean, yes, to give them a book to read about. Try to avoid going on the internet and just doing that business. Have them read. Have them read about the lives of the saints. I know books are maybe, you know, obsolete anymore, but have them open up a book. They can flip through and see which saint maybe they would want to do, maybe because of a symbol that they see that the saint carries or has. I mean, that is something that we must try to impress upon our children. And so for us, when we think about then the communion of saints and understanding that, this communion of saints that we have is because of the church triumphant, because of their union with God. And that is something that we're striving for, and we're asking for the saints to help us and to intercede for us. You know, when we lose something, we pray to St. Anthony. Or if it were a lost cause, we pray to like St. Jude. But these are the things that we ask these saints to intercede for us. Because God has granted them that ability. God has granted them that power then at that point. But again, it stems from God. It comes from God. But we still ask the saints for their intercession. We still ask them to help us. Because they are friends of God. And being friends of God, well, yes, then God will grant the requests that they make to us. I mean, that is why the encouragement then to go visit the poor souls and pray for them and sacrifice for them, have masses offered for them, or have their names written so we can place them on the altar. I mean, knowing that every Mass, these names will be remembered. During the memento of the dead, every Mass that is offered at the altar, they will be included in that Mass. So do fill out the cards that are in the vestibule, the little envelopes, and so we can place them up here. Because remembering that when these souls are released from purgatory, they will get to heaven and they will ask God who are their benefactors so they can pray for them. And they can intercede for them. I mean, that's us. Because now they become friends of God. They're in heaven. They see God. And so therefore, yes, they will ask for God to help this soul that helped them by simply making a visit to the cemetery, by having a Mass offered, by offering up sacrifices for them. There's so much we can do for them, but they become friends of God when they reach heaven. And so that is the thing, this union that we have with the communion of saints. So truly, in order to celebrate this properly, we have to understand that. And so that is the thing, that we honor the saints as friends of God. That is why we turn to them. Because granted, sometimes maybe we see the omnipotence of God, and so therefore we try to go to another saint to ask God for this favor, this request that we have. That's completely normal. That's good for us to do. To ask for this help that we need. But it's because they are friends of God. And so also then we invoke them as advocates before God because we trust in the power of their intercession, because of their charity, because of their love of God. So we invoke them, we ask for their help. Because these saints, they have reached the final goal. They have the beatific vision. They are contemplating and they are enjoying the vision of God their whole life, their whole eternity. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to grasp that. But that is the reality for us, of understanding that now they see God face to face. When you think of St. Paul and when he talks about that, before we have seen through a cloudy, you know, mirror. But now we see him clearly face to face. That is what his reference is in terms of this vision of God and what it means for us. And so therefore, for the saints, yes, we turn to them. We ask for their help. We invoke them. We make a novena to them. We light a candle in their honor. May we make a pilgrimage to a shrine of theirs. Any of these means in order to try to ask and beseech God for that help through his saints, through his friends. And so therefore, their charity is in proportion to their vision of God. And so for us, it'll be the same way. And that is why it's a must. We must work on charity. And as I say, it's not just simply doing good for other people. It's much more than that for us. It is our love of God. And so therefore, it'll be reflected in then our love for our neighbor. And that's why we would do good things for other people. Because of our love for God. And so this is what we must contemplate and think about. On this great feast day, that we would imitate them as models then. One of the spiritual authors has said, without imitation of the virtues of the saints, he said, vain is the celebration of this feast day. He said, it's useless then for us to celebrate this feast day if we don't try to imitate their virtues. And as I say, that's why sometimes we look to the different saints. Maybe it's something that they were able to practice that we struggle with, so that's why we turn to them. That is why we ask them, because maybe we struggle with that. And that is why maybe they become a patron for us. But do also realize that is why, then, obviously, that you would name your children Catholic saints. Because you're asking for that saint to protect your child. And that's why it's important for you to understand that when, for a baptism, yes, that you would choose a patron for them. A patroness for them. So they would have that protection. And for confirmation, I mean, obviously, if they're receiving confirmation, your child should be able to pick their own saint at that point. A saint that they've studied, a saint that they know their life, they're inspired by them. Because again, they're picking someone that they want as a patron to protect them, to help them, to intercede for them. I remember when I was at the seminary, it was encouraged for us, for every of the minor orders or the major orders that we took, you could pick a patron. I thought, hey, another 7 or 8 more patrons? I'm for that. I need all the help I can get. And so you would choose different patron saints for that. Because it's this understanding of asking these saints to watch over you as you would watch over your children. I mean, that's why then when baptisms come, yes, we might refuse then a name that makes no sense, that it's not a saint's name. I've heard a priest that actually just changed the name without really even telling the parents. It's like, well, that's not a saint's name. But I mean, you look at the priest and he's trying to baptize his child to bring them into the church and you don't even have a patron for him. That makes no sense. What a disservice you're doing to that child that you're not even giving them a saint then, just because you like the name or it's a popular name, you trended it on, you know, Google and found it was there. I mean, you've got to understand what is the responsibility you have. And that is why then you would choose saints that would maybe, yes, you would want them to protect your child, to help your child, to inspire your child. And so these are the things that we must understand for this feast day. And as I say, we gave the opportunity for the All Saints Day party to help them to imitate the saints too. Yes, to have a bag of candy of different things, fine, great. But also that's why, you know, we did the soul bags for the children to understand there's an obligation sometimes to pray too. Praying for the poor souls this month. Yes, they're rewarded with a piece of candy if they pray for them that day. It's a means of trying to instruct the children and help them to see the poor souls need our prayers and our sacrifices. They need that. And not just for the month of November, but it's a means of trying to instruct them and help them. And that's why we do that, to help them. Now, as I mentioned, Halloween last night, I mean, that's a mockery of our faith. All Hallows' Eve, that's what they mock. And that's usually why then you would see them in their demon costumes, their devil costumes, because it's a mockery of the faith of our saints. And that's why they pick the exact opposite. We have our saints, they have their demons. And so that's where you have to understand that. That's why we gave the opportunity for the parish and the school to have these parties. To help them to see and to grasp that. And so it's sad. It's sad to see that some Catholics will still follow through with that, because why? It's what the world does. That's sad. So we have the opportunity to follow our faith, to live our faith, and to help our children to become saints. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility too. And so that's what we must be trying to instruct them and help them on this feast day, yes. To celebrate it properly, yes. Honor the saints, invoke the saints, imitate the saints. And that's something for all of us to do. Not just the children. That's something for all of us to imitate. So as I say, if we want to have a clear vision of God, we must have charity, which means we must have the love of God. This love of God, that's, yes, we love God above all things. And so contemplate these things, think about these things. When our Lord gives a clear understanding of the Beatitudes, our happiness in the Gospel account, trying to instruct us, trying to help us, he instructed the disciples with that in the Sermon on the Mount. So it's also something for us to meditate and to think about, the 8 Beatitudes. If we follow that, we will be happy. And so let us turn to the saints and pray to them, especially your patrons, all of our patrons, let us turn to them. Ask them to help us to become saints. But certainly we must turn also to the Queen of all saints, Our Lady, our Mother, that she help us in this valley of tears, that we can reach our end, and that we will see God face to face for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.